Finding affordable housing can be a challenge for residents across the country, including here in the Valley. And my next guest says cities have to start looking at new models for making sure people can have a safe, affordable place to live. Jonathan Reckford is CEO of Habitat for Humanity International. He was in town this week to speak as part of a lecture series put on by the Julianne Wrigley Global Institute of Sustainability at ASU. And I asked him how countries, including the U.S., are doing as far as making sure everyone has access to affordable housing.
The bad news is not so well. The U.S. has had a really strong economic recovery from the recession, but one downside of that is land prices have accelerated wildly faster than incomes. And what we've seen is an uneven economic recovery where most of the benefits of the recovery have gone to asset holders. So if you already own a home, this has been fantastic. But if you don't own assets, you've been really shut out of this process. And now we're seeing all across the U.S. Really record levels of housing stress, where we've got 11 million families paying more than half their income on rent. And the rest of the world, sadly, far worse yet.
When you have that kind of housing stress, what kind of impacts does that have on the rest of the economy?
It ends up hurting everyone. And to your earlier comment, what we've learned over the decades is that concentrated poverty ends up hurting everyone. And what we've seen, and the data is very strong, is that mixed income, mixed use communities are the healthiest approach for everybody involved.
Are communities, and by communities I mean both governments and nonprofits, others who think and work in this area, are those entities thinking differently about how to try to tackle this problem now than they have in past years?
You know, I was encouraged just last week, the Conference of Mayors in the U.S. came out and said affordable housing was the number one challenge. That's actually very new. Generally, housing's not high on the list. And that's always surprised me as a houser. And so one of the goals of Habitat in some ways is to bridge the economic gap and create awareness and empathy and understanding around these issues. Because once people understand it, I think then hopefully we can get them to care more or do something about it. I think also the practical reality is housing's complicated and expensive. So it's hard to tackle. And the only real solutions, I think, are to get the public sector, the private sector, and the nonprofit community working together on community transformation.
When you talk about the expenses, and you talked earlier about how, you know, land prices are going up, values are going up, it would seem as though that would make it harder for folks like you to do what you do and for others who are trying to get people who don't have great housing solutions now to get them into it.
Exactly right. And you've got some positive trends. Now, young people want to move back into the city and live in the urban environment. That's actually mostly a very positive trend, except it's then crowding out low-income families. And so I think what we've got to get better at is how do we come alongside families in these communities with an array of solutions, starting with the vision of the community itself. It can't be imposing from the outside. And then think about creative ways to preserve affordable housing while getting the benefits of economic investment.
You've written about having these sort of mixed-use communities where you have people of different income levels living together near jobs, near transit, where people can get to jobs. I'm wondering how you make that work, though, because in a place like Phoenix, for example, where you have limited public transportation, but what Right. we do have, the light rail, value of land along the light rail line is very high. So I'm wondering how you go about making that work for people who can't afford expensive housing and you have expensive land.
I think you've nailed the exact challenge, and part of it is being proactive. You know, the global demographic trend is rapid urbanization. I was just at the World Economic Forum last week in Davos with all of our ton of corporate and government leaders having some of these exact conversations, and our current cities don't have the infrastructure for their current population, let alone their projected population, and we're seeing long-term it's going to just get worse. And what we need is to be more proactive. And I'll give you a good example. Atlanta did this great urban renewal project called the Beltline, which was taking an old rail track that went around downtown Atlanta and redeveloping it into a circular park. Affordable housing was supposed to be part of the mix, but the recession hit and they didn't do the affordable housing piece. That would have been okay if they'd held the land, but they didn't. And then just what you've described happened. Now that land's really expensive. They still have an affordable housing mandate, but they missed the window. And I think the challenge coming together is what's the combination of carrots and sticks that would make it attractive for private developers to build affordable housing and mid-level housing, not just high-end housing?
Well, it seems like that would be the key, right? Because there are developers all over this city and all right. over many cities that are building homes and apartments and condos. But at least in the Phoenix area, you see most of them sort of at the higher income level. level, you don't see a lot of affordable housing being built. And the reasons, as you just said, are pretty obvious. There's not a lot of money to be made there.
That's right. You make more margins on the high end. And then some cities, which we generally support, have put in inclusionary zoning, which would say, yes, you can build your high-end condo, but then X percent of the units need to be affordable. I think that's good, except the problem is it creates a little bit of what we would call lottery for humanity. You get a lot of high-end units. In fact, they go even further high-end to get the margin to pay for the affordable units, and a small number of people get housing. I think we need the carrots along with the stick to say, what's the right incentive? One of the most successful has been the low-income housing tax credit, and I think we need to have long-term financing. Another vehicle that's been helpful has been land trusts, that cities allocate land permanently to be affordable housing.
In your mind, what is the right mix of entities to be involved in this problem between state, county, local governments, nonprofits like yours, you know, other entities, maybe universities in some senses are involved in this? What's the right mix?
You know, I think it is, because of the complexity, in a way, it's all of the above, and I think there are different roles. You know, you can't really find a country or city that solved affordable housing without government engagement. And government's got a couple of roles. At the federal and state level, it's really about housing finance. At the local level, it's about land use. I personally believe, though we're a nonprofit, you can't do it without the private sector. We can't get to scale without the private sector, and that's why I'm so interested in making the market work better at the lower end of the market. And then I think you also need, I facilitated last week a panel in Davos around public-private partnerships, and there's a big buzz on that. And an argument is that's missing a P. They actually need to be public-private people partnerships, because civil society and nonprofits actually bring voice and representation to the people that live in these communities. And I think when we just design something with the government and the private sector and don't include the community, you end up with a suboptimal result. So I think nonprofits play a critical role both at the risky end, sort of doing demonstration projects to prime the market, but also representing and bringing the voice of the communities to the conversation.
All right. Jonathan Reckford is CEO of Habitat for Humanity International. Jonathan, thanks for coming in.
My pleasure. Thank you, Mark.